but he or she have walked away.
Come on, Pastor.
How many of us have stood at the intersection of expectation and disappointment? A French Roman Catholic archbishop by the name of Francois Fenelon, he wrote in his book, The Royal Way of the Cross. He said, God must tear from us what we love so wrongly, unreasonably, or excessively that hinders his love. He goes on, in doing so, Fenelon says, he calls us to cry out like a child from whom one takes a knife would maim himself or kill himself. So we cry loudly in our despair and we murmur against God as a petulant baby crying for his mother. Mm-hmm. But God let us cry and he saves us anyway. He must tear from us. He must rip out of our hands what we love so wrongly, unreasonably and excessively. God takes from us what we think we cannot get along without.
Come on now, come on.
He strips us of what we think that we should have so that God is all that we have left. And when you wake up and discover that God is all you have left, I promise you, that God is all you need. Brothers and sisters, much preaching today has become therapeutic, dismal, therapeutic deism in the innate optimism of human mixture with the false teaching of plagiarism, resulting in a toxic brew of narcissistic spirituality that is a pragmatic and insuperficial substance. But upon closer examination, it is Christianity without bruises. It is Christ with no scars. Any faith that has not been bruised, any Christianity that has no scars laid on it, may be faith that has not been challenged. In the incurable of disappointment is the faith that is not worthy of having in the long run because of God.
Wow. Amen. Make it plain, Pastor. Wow.
You see, it's because God would use us greatly. He got to hurt us deeply. I'll say that again. It's because of God that uses us and take and strip things from us. But he has to hurt us deeply. This matter of disappointment and expectation of those who have been Christians for a long time know that it is one day up, the next day down. Some days a pot roast. Some days beans with no meat. Some days chicken without the feathers. Some days sunshine and some days rain. Some days laughter and some days pain. There's tears all around, but there are those days that we will hurt and experience some kind of pain. At the intersection of expectation and disappointment, some days our children make you proud. Some days they break our heart. I used to hear the old folks say, when they are small, they're on your knees. When they are grown, they're on your hearts. If it ain't one thing, it is another. And another trial and difficulties, good days and bad days, which we face and experience. Because God is not in your debt to make you happy. To make you sure how your day is going. Because God did not come through Jesus Christ to make you happy.
Wow.
But God came to give you the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And to make us holy sometimes require bruises.
Yes.
Those of us that was right, was raised right, when our parents would chastise us, and they would say, I'm doing this because I love you. I can hear my oldest brothers, all of them say, oh, if you love me so, leave me alone. I don't want this. But you can't get anywhere that's worth being without some kind of bruises. I wish I had somebody here who have come and had some bumps along the road. Someone who has situations you've gotten yourself into that God has gotten you out of. Someone beside that you wish you haven't had made it, and some roads that you wish that you have never traveled. If you could go back in your life and look at your life in slow motion, there's something that you would want to delete out of that picture. There's some things you would want to edit it out of that picture.
Come on now.
But those things have served to make you the person you are right now. Because if you would not have those struggles, my brothers and sisters, you would be close to God. You wouldn't be as close to God as you are right now.
Hallelujah.
When you take a moment, look at your life in slow motion and see the things that has happened throughout your life. That served God's purpose to make you who you are.
Yes.
All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. Those who are called according to His purpose.
Yes.
His purpose. Mm-hmm. His purpose is not always clear,
yes,
but it's always right.
Yes.
I'll say that again. God's purpose is not always clear in our minds or in our vision or in our ears or the way we see God, but His way is always right. Because sometimes God do not do what we expect Him to do. But because God is reliable doesn't mean God is predictable. He is reliable doesn't mean that He is equally predictable. Because God does whatever pleases Him to make us like Jesus.
Yes.
Now, to understand what John is experiencing here, Jesus is born. And John is the forerunner of Jesus Christ, we know. Mary and Elizabeth are pregnant 6 months apart. When Mary comes to salute her elder cousin, she is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist in her womb. And when Mary comes and she draws near to Elizabeth, John, he begins to leap in her womb. Yes. In other words, I can see John shouting in her womb when he was leaping in her womb. Because he recognized Jesus.
Yes.
Luke 1:41-42 tells us that the Bible says when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, that the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. He leaps in his mother womb. Because even before John was born, he knew who Jesus was.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
But in prison.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
But in prison, he's disappointed. Now his question by his disciples to Jesus is not born out of doubt. Because I just mentioned, he knows who Jesus is.
Right, right.
He leaps in her womb. He was there to walk to the Jordan and to be baptized. John said, I need to be baptized by you.
Yeah.
Jesus says, suffer it to be so. The scriptures may be fulfilled. John saw the heavens open. He saw the Spirit of God descending upon the Master like doves alighting upon him. He heard the audible voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased."
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. He knew who Jesus was. John knows who Jesus is and his disappointment of him. Brothers and sisters, if you and I can get locked in the prison appointment and yet forget everything we know. Now here is where John's disappointment is born. In chapter 3 of the Gospel of Matthew, as we read that second part a while ago, this is what John expected. As I read it a while ago when he was talking about those Pharisees and Sadducees. Here in the third chapter, 7th verse, he said, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance.'" Mm-hmm. That's important. "And do not think to say to yourselves, 'You have Abraham, our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire."
Yes.
Huh. That's interesting. This is the word. This is the word. It helps us to, it brings us into a place. It sparks and it begins to make us use our imagination and the inquiries that which we see here. John expected Jesus to come and lay the axe, the root of the tree, to bad religion. To bad religion. We have bad religion today. We have bad religion. They bring everybody in, bring your money in. God's going to give you a house. God's going to. I know somebody here this morning that you're going through something. We know everybody's going through something here this morning.
Yes,
so stop the bad religion and stop the false teaching. At the intersection of expectation, oh, there's going to be disappointment.
Yes, yes.
There's going to be disappointment. So John expects Jesus to burn some people up. And here Jesus is healing. Here he expects Jesus to come and destroy the law. And here Jesus is eating with the sinners. Look at God. You expect one thing, but in return you'll be disappointed because of what we want God to do. But we're not on God's timing.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
He expects Jesus to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that is fine. That fire from heaven to destroy bad religion. But here Jesus is working miracles.
Yes.
It is disappointment, not doubt, that is behind John's questioning here, because the answer is in the question.
Uh-huh.
Our parents do that. Our wives do that, Brother Percival.
Yes.
Your wife would do that as well. They ask questions, not you, Minister. They ask questions, and they already have the answer.
Yes. Amen.
They will ask you a question, "Are you going to load that dishwasher and clean up the kitchen?" In other words, that translates to "I cook, so you have to clean up." They already know the answer.
Amen.
To the question.
Amen.
They just trying to vex you. "Oh, by the way, my car needs an oil change, and the tires need rotating." That's not a question. That's a demand. It's not a request. It is a demand. That makes a demand wrapped in a request.
Oh,
right, Moses?
Oh, okay, Pastor.
The intersection of expectation and disappointment. John question is required, is a request wrapped in a demand, in other words, which is almost a demand. There's a world of difference between a request and a demand, and a command. It almost sounds like he's demanding Jesus to show up and tell me what you up to. Now, I need to tell someone who has been at that crossroad of that intersection of expectation and disappointment. Jesus will not show up and tell you what he's up to.
That's right.
Because then it would not be faith. We're studying this in Bible study. Experiencing God. Mm-hmm. God does the work through us. Mm-hmm. He gives us the invitation mm-hmm. to come and be a part of that.
Yes, sir.
But God won't move us from where we are to where he needs us to be until our heart is fixed.
That's
until
right.
we
That's
become right. willfully and accept yes. his invitation.
Yes, yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So if we are looking for God to show up and tell us what he's up to, and then we never will learn what faith is.
That's right. Mm.
We walk by faith and not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
If God tells us everything, we will not have faith to believe.
That's right.
We got to trust God with what we can't see. When he shows up and reveals the answer, then we can come to his house and celebrate.
Yeah.
That's why when we come in from a long, hard week and Sunday begins a new week, we come in off the old week bringing in the new, what God has done.
Yeah.
We celebrate in the things he has done for us.
Yeah,
through sickness,
right.
through health,
that's
through
right.
disparity,
yeah.
through a hurting pain,
yeah.
we come and we lift up God and we
yeah.
praise his holy name.
Yeah.
Yes, right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Is there anyone this morning? It is here.
Yes, sir.
When there are times in your life when you could not see your way, then God shows up in your life and reveals the answer. And God works it out simply fine. As a matter of fact, it was better than what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you ought to come to God's house.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you begin to celebrate Jesus. Because what you went through was hurtful and painful. But now what you're going through and you look back, it wasn't so bad after all. Because now I can come to God's house. Now I can celebrate him. Now I can give him praise. The psalmist wrote, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Even if you're not feeling well.
Come on
and
now.
God allow you
yes.
to be here this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Even if things are upside down in
yes.
your life.
Yes.
God is
yes.
still giving you health and strength.
Yes.
Even though God is not showing you everything he's up to,
yes.
God is there. He was there, mother, when we were asleep last night. He was there when your body was aching with pain. He was there when you had doubt in your heart. He was there when you were praying for your children, your grandchildren. When the son wasn't there, right? The daughter was out there acting all crazy. He was there.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for being there.
Of expectation and disappointment. John question is a request wrapped up in a demand. Yes, I've been disappointed, but God has met every one of my needs.
Yeah.
Yes, I have some tears in my eyes, but God's been good to me every day of my life.
Come on, Pastor.
Yes, I wish things would get better,
yeah.
but I thank God that they are not as bad as they used to be.
God, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you.
When we learn how to be content,
yes.
When we have and don't have, in the middle is where God meets us.
Yes.
Because He has grown us, He has matured us to a place where we come to trust Him.
Yes.
And then our faith is sprouted into action.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Amen. I know how to shout when I'm up and when I'm down. Mm-mm. When I have friends and when I find myself so all alone.
Yeah.
I will give God my best hallelujah.
Yeah.
There's a poet named Ruth Green. Ruth Green. She's she authored a poem and it said, I had many dreams that never came true. I've seen the vancing at the dawn. But I have enough of my dreams to come true that God to keeping me dreaming on.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed my prayers when no answer came, though I waited patiently and alone. But God has answered even enough of my prayers to keep me praying on.
Mm-hmm.
Listen very careful to this last standard of this poem. I drained a cup of disappointment and pain. I've gone many days without a song. But I sipped enough nectar from the roses of life to make me want to live on.
Wow.
God. God has been so good to you. God has been so good to me. I'm not bragging. I'm just testifying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I say that without a born of doubt, in spite of my sins of past, in spite of my mistakes of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could undo some of those things, but God has been so good to me.
Yes.
You may even be disappointed or not born out of doubt. Because I know that God can, I know that God will, I know that God is able to supply every one of your needs.
Preach, Pastor. Preach.
At the intersection of expectation.
Preach, Pastor.
And disappointment.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And because He doesn't always do what you have expected Him to do,
mm-hmm.
you become disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, like David, I want God to kill my enemies. That sounds kind of cruel, don't it? Little babies lying in the hospital, and they have cancer in it, and they haven't done anything to anybody. While these little boys and grown men walking around with their pants hanging out all the way all down their rump, almost off their knees. And they're just doing fine. That's not fair. But God let His sunshine shine on the just as well as the unjust. God is good and He lets you let His rain fall on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. Fail expectations is at the heart of every disappointment. I don't want to keep you long, but I would like to say two or three more things about this. Then I'm going to go back and take a nap. Listen, Jesus came for us. I want you to hear that. Jesus came for us. He didn't come to please us. Jesus came for us, but He didn't come to please us. Let me stop there for a moment. I think about that because, you know, the churches, ministries are doing the Great Commission, the missionary and foreign missions, and they're feeding, they're clothing, and they're doing these wonderful things. But somewhere along in that, when the people come and they get their little goodies and their little needs are met and they're satisfied just for that little time, a span of time, there's another need that's still not being met.
That's right.
That's that spiritual need of knowing Jesus
That's right. That's right.
That lemonade that's within them, and that spiritual man is malnourished. That spiritual man is not being fed because they don't know what God can do. Even though he didn't come to please them, but he came to save them.
Yes. Come on, Pastor.
Getting the word out. Getting the word out. We're getting the love out. We're showing the love. But there's so many things that are lacking.
Yes. Say it, Pastor.
I like that in that final verse, in verse 6 in the 11th chapter here. I like that because Jesus said that, his word, he hope it don't offend anyone. When you find people that the word of God defends, offend them, they can't take it. Because that's light, that's truth. And they run from truth because it's very uncomfortable for that spiritual dead man. I said again, Jesus didn't come for us, but he didn't come to please us. Let me drop that on you one more time.
Jesus came.
In other words, God is with us. And Jesus came for us. But he did not come to please us. Jonah got disappointed because God told him to go to Nineveh. Instead, he got on the ship, headed to Tarshish. So when God sent him out in the great sea, the great storm came, and there he got swallowed up in the belly of a fish. It's amazing. So God got his attention while he was in there 3 days and three nights. He began to talk to Jonah. And he asked him, why did you not do what I told you to do? And Jonah, with his sarcasticism, well, Lord, Jonah, he replied, and he said, I knew if I would have preached to them that they would repent and you would have forgiven them.
My Lord.
How selfish can that be?
Elijah
got disappointed.
Come on now, tell the pastor.
Elijah got disappointed with God. He stared down 850 prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, and he ran from Jezebel. He asked God to take his life because he said, I am the only one left calling on your name. And then God turned around and he told him, you're not the only one left. I got 450 more that have not bent their knee to Baal. At the expectations, there's a wonderful thing when you believe in God. Yes. Habakkuk got disappointed with God. He said, why do the evil seem to have it so easy? And then the righteous are having it so hard. He said, I am going to sit here to see what you're going to do. Then God showed up. He showed him in a vision. He wrote it and he made it plain.
Yes, he sure did.
He made it plain for him. Though there will be no figs on the vine, though there will be no cattle in the stall, I will still praise the Lord. We learn how to praise the Lord when we don't have enough food. We learn how to praise the Lord when we don't have enough gas.
Yeah.
We learn to praise God when our money gets thin and it gets short. Yeah. We learn how to praise God when our health begins to fail. We learn how to praise God when we're about to lose our minds. We learn to praise God at the intersection of expectation and disappointment.
Yes, sir.
Hold on. Come on, Pastor. Preach.
Jesus came for us, but he didn't come to please us. He came for us, but he did not come to answer us. Remember Job, his wife? They don't talk too much
about his wife. Come on now.
Remember Job? He had a wife, children, livestock, all that. He was the richest man in the East.
Yes.
And then one day that little ugly little devil raised his head, come walking up to heaven. God asked him, he said, buddy boy Satan.
Where you going?
Lucifer.
Yeah.
That's his name. Lucifer, where have you come from? Oh Lord, I've been traveling through fro the earth, going backward and forth. And he said, have you considered your servant Job? And God looked at him and he said, yeah, okay.
Go ahead and do what you're going to do, but don't you lay one finger on his life. Mm-hmm. I like that, because then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant? Watch this. Have you considered my servant Job? Mm-hmm. The stress in this text, he's stressing here in this text, is my servant Job. Mm-hmm. Watch this. Satan said, I thought about him. He's still lying.
Yes.
He's still a deceiver. He's still trying to run the game.
Yeah.
On the one who created him.
That's right.
And he's still stupid and blind and crazy.
Sure is. So is.
And knowing God, know all, see all, and everywhere.
Yes.
He said, well, I thought about him. Mm. I thought about him. Got a friend sometimes. You know, yeah. You know, we can do this right. You know. Oh, I thought about that. So anyway, he said, I thought about that. I thought about him. I wanted to get at him, but you had a hedge around him.
Wow. Hedge of protection. How about that? How about that?
Sister
yes.
Michelle,
yes.
He wanted to get at you, but God have a hedge around him.
That's right.
God have a hedge around him.
Yes. Yes.
God have a hedge around him. God have a hedge around you. God have a hedge around you. God have a hedge around you. So when disappointments come,
yes, yes,
the trouble seemed to be on every hand.
Yes, Lord.
When people start lying to you and they start backstabbing you, and you seem like no help is nowhere to be found.
Y'all had a hedge of protection, yes, Lord.
That's Satan.
Yes.
That's Satan. He's trying to wring you dry.
Yes.
He's trying to turn you into a prune. He wants you to just throw your hands up and curse God. He can't do nothing because God has a hedge
around you. Hallelujah.
And then that wasn't bad enough. All in one breath, he said, well, you have a hedge around him. Mm-hmm. And then he turned around and he said, I'll make him curse you to your face. Too much pinto beans and cornbread.
Yeah.
Time they hit his mouth, they'd be on fire. But anyway,
yeah.
The Bible says Job lost all his sheep, all his livestock. His children were partying at their oldest brother's house. A storm came and killed his seven sons and his three daughters.
Lost everything.
And then Satan came back to the Lord. He said, skin to skin.
Yes.
You've taken something Job had.
Mm-hmm.
When God takes something from you that you had, that you hold so dearly, that you treasure so deeply, He have to rip it from our hands.
Yes, he does.
Because we value it too much.
That's right.
And that's all our eyes on. Look at this pretty, new microphone I got. Hey, man, I'm at school. Hey, man, I got a new i14, man. Look at that. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I got this iPad. Wow. Treasuring this stuff. And then we get in church. Mm-hmm. And then we get out of church. What did the preacher say? What was he talking about?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So anyway.
You preaching.
Let me get back. So anyway. Satan comes and he has it, but this is the thing. He said, if you take his help from him, let me grab his help, Satan said, and he'll curse you to your face.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power.
Wow.
But do not lay a hand on him.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And Satan comes and Satan is stricken. And then Job, he is stricken with boils. From the crown of his head to the bottom sole of his feet.
That's right.
Could you only imagine pustering sores and boars and all that stuff? And he's over there with ashes, scraping them with a stick. He didn't have medication and stuff like that, but they had herbs and stuff. But he went through so much. He was stricken with this stuff. His wife said, now you got yourself like this man. You know how sisters do. See? Brother Alex, if you done what I said, you would be all puffed up and all these pus coming out of you. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just curse for me and die?
God said, we don't receive simple goods. Joseph, we do not receive simple good at God's hand.
That's right.
Then they begin to fall out with disappointment. Job's wife did that. So Job, he had integrity. Job, he raised himself up even though he was on that ground scraping himself. Those three knuckleheads, friends that God sent to him. You must have done something terrible. You know, already adding insult to injury. You know how it is. You're already down and out. And here comes somebody with some little negative junk. That's why a lot of people, when they're going through something, they don't nobody know.
Uh-huh.
Because you got so many negative people.
That's
automatic
right.
Thinking.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they say, okay, I'm going to get you while you're down. Let me take my foot and just wrap it all around your neck.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So anyway, getting back. So she said, why don't you just curse God and die? God said, we don't receive good from God. So anyway, he said, I like this right here. His wife made this statement, still him just for him, I'm coming into a pity pot. She didn't even have empathy for him. She didn't even feel sorry for him. She didn't care nothing about him but letting him know, hey, now your integrity is being tested. Mm-hmm. He said, naked I came and naked I go. Mm. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's integrity.
Yes.
He's going through something.
Yes.
His body is racking with pain.
Yes.
Can you imagine he got fever? Can you imagine he's about to go out of his mind? But all his thought, all his energy, I've served God with my whole heart. I raised my children right, and they knew the God, but they want to party every day. They want to have one blunt in one hand and have the bottle in the other. But then, God, the whirlwind came and taken them. But he said, blessed be the Lord. Lord, give it to the Lord, take it. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. If you're standing at the intersection of expectation and disappointment.
All right.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah.
Lord has not forgotten you.
The Lord has not forgotten.
The Lord has not turned his back on you.
Yes.
The Lord is still there with you.
Yes.
Just because it seems that God is asleep, God is watching over you.
Yes, 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 yes.
I remember the old song, Mother, and I know y'all remember that song. All night, all day,
angels
keep on watching
over me.
Oh my Lord, you know something, when God don't answer it, and yet he don't seem like he don't come, and you think he's up in heaven asleep, but he's aware of every ill, every pain that he goes through. He's aware of what you feel, but we demand he is doing for night, joy. Sometimes you may get disappointed with your children. Don't give up on them.
That's right.
If you raise them right, God will bring them back. God will bring them back to their senses. He will restore them back to their rightful place. Is there anybody here that's been disappointed? Don't stop praying. Just keep on moving. Have you been disappointed with someone? You just keep praying for them, and God will fix it after a while. Are you disappointed in your health, your marriage, and your life? Don't give up. God will meet you where you are. Your intersection of expectation and disappointment. As we come to a conclusion, Jesus said to go and tell John. The blind see. Mm-hmm.
Tell him that the lame, they'll walk.
Come on now.
Tell him the poor is being preached against.
Y'all right now.
Blessed is he who is not offended because of me.
Yes.
Because God don't answer you right away, doesn't mean that he's going to answer you at all.
That's right.
He will show up on his time. Yeah. But he will show up.
Yeah.
But you have to learn how to wait. Yeah. You have to learn what patience is. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not humble, oh my Lord, it's going to humble you real quick. I love it because hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Father and Creator of the ends of the earth.
That's right.
There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint.
Yes, he does.
And to them that have no might. He increases their strength. The youth shall faint and grow weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, David says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The proverb said, if you faint in a day of adversity, it is because your strength is small. If you don't make it in the land where peace and prosperity may be, or what is going on, the Jordan will swallow you up. If you're at the intersection of expectation and disappointment, I got good news for you this morning. Jesus does not offer an answer. Jesus offer himself. Jesus don't offer an answer. Jesus offer himself. Why? Because Jesus is the answer. May God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
And
amen. Amen.